Well, where do you think we're going to open? Open to the book of Ephesians. No, Ephesians again. Now, I'm serious. I am so full of, my mind wants to run in six different directions all at once. Yet, I know that, I know the essential thing he wants to get across tonight, so you agree with me. Father, I pray again tonight, but especially on this message, Father. Father, settle me down. Lay that path out in front of me, Lord, where I can walk and serve the mind of Christ tonight. Walk right down the middle of it and serve it to the people. Father, I pray for the anointing of the teacher, and that you make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth the mind of Christ with simplicity and clearly. And Father, I also pray for the people who hear this message. Father, cause the noise and the clamor of the world to grow silent here for a while. All those things that pull for their attention. Give them a portion of peace, a quiet time now, where they can hear what you're saying, not only to the church at large, but where they can hear what you're saying to them individually. Father, I thank you for this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And if you agree, you can say, Amen. And before I even read this, it will be in chapter 1 when we start. The last service that Tim did, with the title we put on that is, We Must Speak the Truth. And boy, he spoke a lot of truth while he delivered that message. And I've been over it several times, and I'm still not sure that I have everything, all the juices. I think there's still some left. I'm going to have to go back and get it again. And then I followed that up with the Sunday message called, We Must Walk in the Truth. And I've been thinking about that ever since and rolling all that over in my mind. And I don't know what title yet we're going to put on this one tonight, but it's something along the line of, we must believe the truth first. So you got to believe it. Or maybe you can, speaking it is part of believing it. But that's not really what it is. Now here's what I'm saying. Holy Spirit, help me. The reason we're starting in Ephesians, we started off this series a year ago asking the Lord, we were praying the same prayer that Paul prayed here in starting in Ephesians 1, verse 17. Praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, so that we could know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and to every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And if I was to continue into chapter 2, I mean, that right there is just an astounding prayer. But not only has Jesus been seated at that right hand of God far above all power and might and dominion, it says in chapter 2 that we were quickened together with him, raised up together with him, and seated together with him. We read that in the majesty of those words and the authority that is there. And then we go try and live our life. Seems like a flat tire is enough to ruin the week. I mean, it seems we walk away. I read that and we should be... The devil should quake when our eyes open. When I read that right there, he should fear and tremble. Oh, no. I started to say, oh, God, but he wouldn't pray that. He'd go, oh, no. The Christians are awake again. What are they going to do? What damage are they going to bring to my kingdom as they go about today using the name of Jesus to destroy all the things that I've accomplished? That's the way it should be. And I believe that is exactly what Jesus intended. And I read, as I'm living right there, as I'm reading that and meditating it, I feel like a giant killer. I feel like a conqueror. I feel like, yes, seated, far above. Yeah, where is that devil? Let me at him. Then normal life comes. Daily living. I remember I'm the guy that, I'm just saying stuff, I mean just... You know, I remember I'm the guy that has trouble balancing my checkbook, you know. or lost my temper with the kids yesterday. Or ordered the extra Krispy Kreme donut again. Or I could say worse things, but that's enough. Can't. And also, I'll tell you, let's go one step further. When I pray and I listen, seems like oftentimes the heavens are brass. Where is his voice and where is his answer? But then when I come back to the word, it doesn't change. And it's still here. And it still says what it says. So what is the problem, see? Well, all this week, I keep hearing Pilate's question. Do y'all remember Pilate's question to Jesus? He said, what is truth? What is truth? See, in the world thinks it has everything figured out. And what they're talking about is what we call science, and I'm not against science. I like science, actually. I'm an engineer by training, and I like physics and thermodynamics and chemistry. I like all of that. So they think they've got it all figured out, you know. They understand the universe. Yeah, right. You know. Well, science has its version of truth. And boy, they'll argue with you. See? That's what they think truth is. And I'm not turning to a lot of verses. We just don't have time anymore. You've either been hanging around or you've not been hanging around. What is truth? John chapter 1, you find out the law, it was delivered through Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Now, stop for a minute. Did the universe change when Jesus came? Did the laws of physics change? You reckon E equal MC squared before Jesus came and man just didn't know it? Sure it did. Laws of the universe hadn't changed. What the world calls truth hasn't changed. So what does it mean when it says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ? Well, in John 17, we don't have time to go there either. One of the things Jesus said, he said, Father, I have finished the work that you gave me to do. I finished it. Then he says an astounding thing. I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me. Now he brought truth that the world knew nothing about and would not know anything about today had he not brought those words from the Father. And it's more than that. See, in Ephesians, you can find out that the truth is, if you've been taught by him, that the truth is in Jesus. But see, it's more than him knowing the truth. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Back to Pilate's question. What is truth? Now, Paul, twice in the book of Galatians, uses the phrase, the truth of the gospel. If you don't know about that, you can get Sunday's message. The truth of the gospel. That's a very precise statement. The truth of the gospel would be the truth that Jesus brought. And the point I want you to get this now, it's the eyes of my understanding are beginning to be enlightened just a little bit. See, I've always, I hate to use the word prided, but I'm going to use it. I've always kind of prided myself on being a faith man. And we've had some tremendous victories in what we would call faith, you know. I know what faith is. Faith believes God's word. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the word of God. Nothing wrong with that. We've had some great victories there. Cancer tried to take me off the planet. They gave me 6 months. That was in 1990. This is the year 2010. That's a long 6 months. Thank God for faith. Could give you other testimonies of things. And then this last week, he's been showing me how little of a faith man I really am. Because I'm only believing the tiniest portion of the truth of his gospel. But the eyes of my understanding are beginning to be enlightened a little bit. And it starts here. The truth that he's talking about, what he's calling us to believe, you can't find it anywhere else on planet Earth. You can't have it. You can't go to university. You can't go to, I'm sad to say, most churches. Maybe any churches at this point. The truth doesn't exist anywhere, and nobody knew it until Jesus brought it. Who knew that it was in the mind of the Father that man would have to be born a second time? Who knew that truth? Who knew that that was even possible? Who knew that man could go from the fallen state as a descendant of Adam? Who knew that he could be judged in Christ, be found dead there, and then quickened to new life by the Holy Ghost? Who ever heard of anything like that? Who ever heard this? Science doesn't believe this to this day. All things are possible to him that believes. As you know, I've told you before, Smith Wigglesworth is one of my great heroes. I like studying men who walked in this and who died with a good testimony and lived it to the end. That's the ones I like. And when you read, he was not a great wordsmith, even though his name is Smith Wigglesworth, but it's crude to some extent, but at the same time, his thoughts are so far above the mind of normal man. I remember when I first started trying to read his books, about the time that even before we came to this church, I would read it and what in the world is the man talking about? Years go by, praying in the Holy Ghost and also learning the revelations that God had taught Pastor Dave and then learning what he'd taught us. And years go by, I read the same books again and I'd say, when did Smith get a hold of my notes? See, he'd been trained by a teacher that's not of this world. And he understood truth that can't be found by the natural man. He cannot know it. Cannot know it. These are the very kinds of truths. See, the natural man, the world, pretty well laughs at they are, that to them the phrase "born again Christian" is always in quotes because they don't believe there is any such thing, and because they've seen preacher those that stood up and preached it, for the most part, wind up in some kind of scandal. That's why I'm quick at this point to say to you right now, I'm not going to be, don't judge me for hypocrisy. I'm telling you plain, I am on a journey with you. I'm not saying I have arrived, okay? But I've spied out the land, and I'm here to give you a good report, okay? Now, I'm possessing the land like you're possessing the land. How about you be mean to the devil and nice to me? Okay, I'll try and do the same with you. Till we all arrive in Canaan land, anyway. Sorry, my roots came up for a moment there. Anyway. Now, let me get back on the narrow path here. Truth. What is truth, see? What he's calling us to believe, the world laughs at. And they're not going to believe anything except empirical evidence. Do y'all know what empirical means? Something that can be measured. Something that can be seen with the natural eye. They're going to have to see somebody walk the walk and not just talk the talk. You know, I'm thinking right now of Matthew 15 because that's where the prototype of our revival is, the one that I see that we're going to have, where they brought great multitudes to Jesus, the halt and the lame and the sick and the blind. Great multitudes they brought to him. And it just simply says he healed them. They cast them down at his feet and he healed them. Thousands of them. And it says when they saw these things, when they saw it, empirical evidence, they wondered, they marveled at the God of Israel. We are called to exactly do that and demonstrate that to a lost world. We're never going to do that unless we believe the truth. And you can't believe the truth if you don't know what it is. Now, for this past year, we've been going through quite an intensive study out of Ephesians, learning what the truth is. And still yet, I've noticed, perhaps you've noticed, knowing that hasn't changed me a whole lot. Maybe a little bit. I'm not interested in knowing stuff that doesn't change me. Because Jesus said, if you really know the truth will make you free. So I've been asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I got to know like Pilate wanted to know. What is truth? He says, well, you've been teaching it for a year. At least a year, you know, this aspect of it out of Ephesians. He says, you tell me. So I started to go for my notes. He said, no. I don't want you to get it from your notes. So I started to go get my Bible. He says, no, I don't want it from my word. I want to hear your words. I want to know what you know. Now this, Sue can tell you, I didn't go in to sit down at the computer and type anything until about, I was through with the shower, through dressed. I went in there about 10, maybe 12 minutes before we left. He wouldn't let me open my Bible. He wouldn't let me even look. I wanted to go to the website and just look at the titles from last year. I said, that will help jog my memory, see? And he said, that's part of the problem. See, right now, I don't have to go back to any notes. If you wanted to interview me as a son of O.R. Carpenter, honey, I got days worth to tell you. I can go all the way back to those trailer houses as we followed construction around all those years, and I can tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly all about my life as a son of O.R. Carpenter. I can regale you with information for days on end. He says, regale me with your knowledge of the truth. He didn't really say it, but that's kind of what he was after. He says, demonstrate to me without notes, without going back. So I sat down there, opened up a blank sheet of paper. I felt like I was having a, what do you call those? A pop quiz, exactly. So, well, what do I know? What is the truth? What is it he's calling me to believe that the world doesn't know anything about? See, that's the pop quiz. What is the truth that you know that the world doesn't know? Because the truth he brought, the world knows nothing about. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, and as these sentences would come to me, I would hear the world laugh. Almost hear them laugh if they looked at my life and the results when I pray. Because all they're interested in, they don't care what the word says. What can you show me, boy? Well, the first one I wrote down, and this is by no means exhaustive. I'm trying to be honest with you and give you the results of my pop quiz. So, well, the first thing I know that I didn't know before, I am not the offspring of Adam. I know that. I finally got that. Now, I could expand that to say this. That means I'm not just an old sinner saved by grace. See? But I'm not the offspring of Adam. My flesh is. But the real me, the spirit man, I know that truth. Now the world, they're going to go worse than that. They don't even think you're the offspring of Adam. They think you're the offspring of an ape. And they keep coming up with these more ancient skull than the one they had before. And they put it up and go, this is a man. And I look at it and I go, that is a monkey. What is wrong with your head? Why do you keep saying that's a human? Look at that thing. That's a monkey. But they want to believe it because they don't want to believe there's a God to be accountable to. See? So the first thing I know, here's truth that the world doesn't believe, sure doesn't believe it. I believe it now. I believe this. At least I believe it. Is that okay? I am not the offspring of Adam. I'm really not. And I'm not a Jew. I knew that before. But now I know I'm not a Gentile. Did you know that? What do we learn? I am a new creation. From those two, he has made one new man. I am a new species of human that never existed before. Can you hear the world? They go, preach it again. Come on, stand up there and preach that again. We'll watch you this week. Tell me you're not like us. You are like us. You get mad over what we get mad at. You go to the same movies, talk the same talk, selfish like us. What are you talking about? We don't see any difference. But see, what is the truth? What is truth? Well, I am a new creation. I don't care what you see. I'm in a process of possessing the land. But I'm never going to walk in truth if I first don't believe it. And I'm going to have to start speaking it more. Like what was said in Tim's message. Well, what's another one? This I have finally got. The firstborn of my species is the Lord Jesus Christ. If I want to see what's possible, I can't look to anybody but him. And no matter what the world says, whatever he did, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Here we go again. Now, not only the world, but now 90% of the church is mad at you now. Yeah. Boy, you better not be sitting in a church that teaches against that statement right there. Or you're never going to walk in power. I remember when he had to finally get me to turn off the TV preachers in the days when he was revealing the truth to me about kingdom finances, and I had my favorite TV preachers. And you know the thing of it is, 90% of what they preached was fine. It was good. But 10% of it was just flat error. And I'm going, well, that's okay. I can handle it. Can a dog handle it if you feed him 90% ground beef and 10% strychnine? No, he won't make it, will he? He won't make it. You're going to kill that dog. You're going to kill your faith. So he told me, he says, I'm trying to clear up the streams of revelation knowledge in you. You're making my job a lot more difficult by continually muddying the waters. Click. Off went the TV preachers. And I had withdrawals on some of them, I got to tell you. I had a hard time with that. But it did make his job easier. Okay. The firstborn of my species is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. I'll tell you right now, I'm following Dave as Dave follows the Lord. I hope he doesn't make too many mistakes. If he falls in the ditch, I'm probably going in right after him. But I'm trusting he'll get out. Okay? But I've watched enough to know he's further down this path than I am. Okay? But ultimately, no matter what happens, he is not my pattern. I can follow him as he follows the Lord. But ultimately, I'm following the Lord. You got that? He is our pattern. All right, what else do we know? What is truth? Well, now, here you go. If he's my pattern, and he is. Let's see, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And he's the firstborn of my species. Now, what does that tell me? I don't care what it feels like, and I don't care what my history is, and I don't care what you see when you watch me all week. Sin has no dominion over me. Sounds real strong when I say it right now, don't it? Don't I sound persuasive? You know how far away that seems on Tuesday? When I'm tempted to do something? And 63 years of history come into play saying, you know who you are. Well, that's the problem, I don't. Somebody's lying here. Either the Word of God is lying, or my experiences are lying. What is truth? Jesus said in John 17 again, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Now, what does sanctify mean? Well, it means you got a whole group of things. And out of that group of things, you're going to set apart, you're going to sanctify a portion. And that group will be different from the others. They won't mix anymore. Sanctify them, set them apart from the world through thy truth. And then so we can't miss it, he says, thy word is truth. Now his word, what he says about me, is truth, no matter what science, no matter what experience, no matter what history says to the contrary. I am a child of God. Jesus is my prototype. I have his nature. Sin has no dominion over me. Period. You know, what if you sin before you get home? That's where we have something Adam never had. Adam didn't have Christ's blood on the mercy seat. He didn't have 1 John 1:9. I like to say it this way. I don't care if you have to go to 1 John 1:9 70 times 7 before lunch. If that's what it takes, you go 70 times 7, not only to be forgiven, but to be cleansed, re-cleansed again from all unrighteousness. We have something Adam never had. What else do you know? What is truth? I'm sitting there going. Well, since I have dominion over sin, then I could say it this way. Sin cannot rule over me unless I allow it. That does away with the devil made me do it. That does away with my wife made me do it. That does away with my neighbor made me do it. No. Sin can't rule over you. Or let's say it this way. Sin can't rule over me unless I allow it. Okay, here's another one. Right after that, this floated up out of my new nature. You know why? Because I have his nature. And it said of him, he hated sin. He says he hates iniquity. So I would say of myself, this is truth. I hate sin. And I love righteousness. Well, Gary, if we do a scientific experiment and follow you around this week with an invisible camera and a clipboard and a recorder to hear every word and everything you say and everything you do, experimentally, empirically, will we be able to scientifically prove what you're saying? Probably not this week, but I'm in a transformation process. And whether you can prove it or whether you can't doesn't change the truth. Because I'm telling you the truth according to what God says. I have been sanctified from the world by his word. And this is what he has spoken over me. So I want to say it to you again, right to your face. I hate sin. Yeah, but we saw you do this. I'm telling you again, I hate sin. Yeah, we saw you take 3 slices of coconut cream pie. But gluttony's a sin. I hate sin. That's the truth. We're not talking about empirical evidence. We're talking about the evidence. God's word. Thy word is truth. I hate sin. I love righteousness. Because of that, my life is fruit of holiness to him. Boy, y'all are quiet. Here's another one. What is truth? Well, I have the nature of Christ within me. That means his nature is the law of life that I live by. I can trust Christ in me to lead me in the paths of righteousness. I never have to sin again. And if I do, I have an advocate with the Father. That's something else I know. And I'm quick to repent, according to 1 John 1:9. And I am forgiven and cleansed from unrighteousness. Now get this part. I need no external law in order to know how to live. Because Christ lives in me. Well, then we shifted gears a little bit. How about this one? What is truth, Gary? Stand and testify, boy. What do you know? How have the eyes of your understanding been enlightened? Well, I would stand and testify. I have received power since I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Really? We saw you pray for Michelle. And she died. We've seen you pray for others. They died. By the way, we don't want you praying for us. No. See, the world mocks this stuff. The world ridicules. They laugh at the church. They laugh at the gospel. Why? Because we've never demonstrated it. That's why. Their laughing days are quickly going to come to an end. See? We're never going to walk in this if we don't truly believe it. And I don't believe we're going to really believe it till we start saying it. See, I knew he wouldn't let me methodically go through and make confession pages out of Ephesians. And I think I understand why. He wanted to do a pop quiz on me. He says, what can you do without notes? What can you do without sitting there with an open book test? Well, I have received power. How do you know that, Gary? His word. I know. So that means I not only have the nature of God within me. If you're born again, do you have that nature? But here's truth that the world knows nothing about. Because I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and he stepped within me, I have God himself living within me. Now, right now the world is laying on their backs laughing out loud. They cannot control themselves. They think you're so funny. You could follow that up with, I am the temple of the living God. How about, so they're still laughing and you just keep talking. You say, where I go, God goes. When I walk in the room, God walks in the room. Can you hear him? Have I said anything yet that's not truth? According to the Word of God that we've been studying for a year, everything I've said is absolutely true. And the world will think you're crazy. The church will think you're crazy. And the devil, by getting you to look at evidence that is empirical instead of evidence that is truth, he'll get you doubting it yourself. And you'll keep hearing things like, you know who you really are. Come on. You know who you are, you failure. You're barely going to make heaven. You'd be lucky if you make it at all. Nobody ever hears those voices. Yeah, right. We wonder why we walk powerless, you know. I'm going to read those again. I want to say those again. It does something in me when I say them out loud. I am the temple of God. Where I go, God goes. When I walk in the room, God walks in the room. I know this, that the Holy Spirit is here to enforce the dominion that's been given to me in the name of Jesus. That's what he's here to do. I have been authorized to use the name of Jesus to destroy the works of the devil. And I have been authorized to use the name of Jesus to bring the Father's will to earth, just like in heaven. Now here you go. You tell me. We read Ephesians there a while ago. We're seated together with him, far above all power, all principality, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Did we not read it? Then could you not make this statement? There is no sickness that can withstand the power of the Holy Spirit when I speak to it in the name of Jesus. Is that true or not? It's absolutely true. What usually happens then is we go out and we try and find out if it's true by speaking in the name of Jesus and praying, and they die. And because we've been scientifically trained instead of spiritually trained, we take that empirical evidence to go, even though you may not voice it out loud, doubt creeps back in on the inside and you go, I wonder. Smith Wigglesworth, if I was to take all of his teachings, and trust me, I have read virtually all of them, many of them many times, if I distilled them down to two words, it would be, only believe. That's the sum of his. If you could just distill it down to the simplest thing, all of those books, I got a rack of them that wide there at home, and you distilled them all down You got two words to preach to the world, Smith, to the believers. What would it be? Only believe. But what he means by that is what Jesus meant by that. To only believe the truth of the gospel. The words that Jesus brought from heaven and the word that he demonstrated by his own life. He said, Philip, you want to see the Father? Have I been with you so long? Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. The Old Testament prophets would give the word of the Lord, and it was true. They'd say, he is your healer. God is your healer. But Jesus would come and he would demonstrate that God is a healer. I am the truth. I'm just not come to proclaim it. I've come to show it to you. He's still doing that for a lost world through the church, if we can ever believe that the truth of the gospel. See, that's still what he's doing. He hasn't changed his mission. He still wants to demonstrate God's truth right in the face of a scientific, empirical, laughing world that's lost and going to hell. Reminds me again of Elijah on Mount Carmel. All I know is, he says, all right, you line up the prophets of Baal. You pray in the name of your God. Boy, they did. They prayed. They cut themselves with knives. They shouted. They did everything. They danced. Nothing. He prayed in the name of Jehovah, the God who answers by fire. Not only did fire fall from heaven and consume the sacrifice, it licked up the water in the trenches and consumed the rocks. Then he said, have all those guys killed. And you know what the amazing revelation was? You know what all Israel began to say? Jehovah, he is God. Well, when the world begins to see something demonstrated again, the power of the living God, the same way that Jesus came to demonstrate who God is, when they see that again, they're going to go, the Father of Jesus, he is God. Yes, Jesus is Lord. Yes, yes. Turn away from these heathen gods. Turn back to the living God. So what do we believe? What is truth, see? What is truth? Just a little bit more here. Now here's, and you know there should be pages of this. This is about 12 minutes sitting there. This floated up. The only reason I'm on planet Earth is to find my place in the body of Christ and fulfill my function there. That's the only reason. Why hasn't Christ already returned? Is the Father waiting on something? You find out in the book of James what he's, isn't it James? He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for that precious fruit. There's still more people to be saved. He's still populating heaven. Well, the mission of Christ hasn't changed. He's came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, that doesn't mean every one of us is an evangelist. But everyone, and from Ephesians, did we not talk about fitly framed and fitly joined together? The whole body of Christ being one. One's an eye, one's an ear, one's a toe, one's a finger, one's an elbow. But we've all got to find our place. It doesn't mean everybody's going to be out on soapboxes on the corner preaching, you know, evangelizing. That's just one part of the body of Christ. Your job may be answering the phone somewhere at a ministry. Your job may be out there making money to fuel the combines of revival. But you've got a place in the body of Christ, and our job is to find that place. And thank God for the message of this church, where I finally found out some way where I could find it for real and not through some test made up by man. Buy my book and fill out my questionnaire and you'll find your place. Oh, phooey. Pray in the Holy Ghost and he'll put you in your place. Well, he won't force you, but you'll wind up wanting to go there once you see what it is. See? That's the only reason we're on the planet. If it wasn't for seeking and saving the lost, he'd already took us out of this sinful place. Why leave us here? We're here to seek and to save the lost. That doesn't, again, that does not mean every one of us is an evangelist. Now, we all have a witness, of course. He may set you down across from somebody at a coffee shop, probably the house of the Lord, Starbucks, you know. Yeah, what I'm saying is you can share your witness. That doesn't mean everybody's called to be an evangelist, but we're called to be something. You have a part in that body. And boy, when you find it and begin fulfilling it, you were born for that. You were made for that. It will be the love of your life. It doesn't mean all your circumstances will be pleasant, but it means your fellowship will be sweet. Your anointing will be strong, and your life will be fruitful for the kingdom of God. Makes me want to go pray right now. I've got to finish this message. The reason I'm on earth is to find my place in the body of Christ and to fulfill my portion. My place in the body is used by the Lord to rescue the lost sons of Adam. That means then, no matter where he places me, if I find his place in his body, you know what that means? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's his body. He put me in the place where I belong in his body. What are you telling me? He's not going to supply for his own body? And that means not just provision, not just physical, I mean like material supply. That means supply of whatever you need. Then I couldn't get past Pastor's message Sunday from the dreaded yellow pad about the heart of the Father. So this one came up in me. I said the love of the, no matter what, no matter how you poked me with a stick and how I reacted. The truth is, the love of the Father dwells within me. And I feel the Father's love for the lost and for the sick and for the poor. I love my enemies. Can you hear that voice? No, you don't. I love my enemies. Why? Why do you say that, Gary? How can you stand there and say that? Because I have his nature in me. That is truth. And that sinner there that's trying to destroy me, he died for that sinner. And his nature's in me. No matter what it seems like, no matter what even your empirical evidence is, the truth is, I love that guy. I'm going to lay down my life for that guy. I'm going to see that guy in heaven. I feel the Father's heart. And I have his love. Now that's about 12 minutes. That's the end of that little list right there. That's about 12 minutes. And I thought, how pitiful. How pitiful. Just, but I have to sit there and let it kind of come up like that. It wouldn't be like that if you interviewed me about my life with O.R. Carpenter. Are you kidding me? I could set you down and talk to you. I could just take, I mean, I could tell you things. And here I've got to get quiet. Now, what is truth? Who am I really? Does that sound like you to you that I'm fully persuaded? I'm just glad I could put it on paper without notes. Without having to go back. Now I'm reminded of the prophecy that came through my own mouth. It is his plan. It's his purpose. That we come to the place. That we are more aware that we are his child. Than we were ever aware that we were man's child. I see the beginning of it. I see the beginning of it. Now let me finish it like this. What is truth? I guess that's the title. What is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. Ephesians says, the truth is in Jesus. truth. Not that the world knows. When it says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, it is talking about the revelation from the mind of the Father that nobody on the planet knew before. God gave the pre-incarnate Christ words to bring. And through those words and by the demonstration of his own actions, Jesus brought truth to the world that is absolutely truth because it is truth. And it will never change. The world does not comprehend it, and apparently even believers who love the Lord, Spirit-filled believers, have difficulty, so that Paul prays that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened so that we can even begin to comprehend these things and the greatness of his power to usward who believe. Now close your eyes for a minute. You're a giant killer. I want to give you a little picture of what the truth says about you. You're the temple of the living God. This week, everywhere you go, God goes with you because he's in you. All things are possible if you can believe it. And there's not a single situation you'll encounter this week. No disaster, no sickness, no poverty, nothing that the devil has done to destroy humans that can't be rectified so that God's kingdom can come to earth like it's already being done through heaven, done in heaven through you. God intends for you to go about this week doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil because God is with you and he's in you. No matter what circumstances say, you have dominion over sin. The truth is you hate sin. You love righteousness and you live a holy life where even the world can say, now there's a Christian. There's someone different. Where you walk this week, you walk with the Father's heart throbbing within you. And his love for the sinner draws them to you. And they don't even know why. But you have what they need. Now when they come, they may be abrasive. But the love within you extends its arms to gather them in and not to push them away. You are what Jesus said you are. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. That is truth, no matter what circumstances say. Did you get that? Okay, you can open your eyes now. Now, I don't know if he's going to give you a pop quiz or not. I have a feeling this is not the last one I'm going to get. But even this is just the beginning. He's not quizzing me just to know what I know. He's quizzing me so I can start walking in what I know. And it begins with the mouth. I absolutely believe what the Lord said through Tim, that speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him, into the head, into him in all things. And if we don't begin at least speaking these things, we're just not going to grow up. So here we go, Ephesians again. What does it say? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, edifying yourself. And then I could like to throw in one more that I heard at some church somewhere one time. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's do not stop praying the mysteries. These are the very mysteries. These mysteries are the truth that the world has no access to, but we do. Building ourselves up on our most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you get anything out of that? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, he's calling us to believe something that hardly anybody's believed in about 2,000 years. This is truth, though, and it hasn't changed in 2,000 years. The land has been given by God this whole time. He's looking for a people who will go up and possess what he's already given to us. How many of you say, I'm one of those people? Amen. Me too. Me too.